I gotta ask you the same question as last week, Dre. How about those Knicks?
Man.
Come on, Dre.
Fire.
Come on, Dre.
On fire. Can't lie.
Yeah, where'd you watch the game?
In my bed.
Game one.
In my bed.
Did you stay awake the whole time?
I did not.
So you were thinking they were gonna lose when you fell asleep?
Actually, I fell asleep very early.
Okay. Like, they were winning still?
I watched the first 2 minutes and the Knicks were up like 10-4.
Okay.
Like, and then
lights
I was
out?
Like, no, but it was still pretty close.
That was like 9:30.
It was
like
it
nine.
Was,
that was like 9:10.
It was a long day. It was a long day already that day. I will tell you why off the air, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a reason to be exhausted
okay.
that
All
day.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
Right. Now inquiring minds really want to know. But okay.
Right. Yeah, I will.
It's okay.
I can't talk about it yet.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. In my entire life, I mentioned I have three teams, one championship. So like this is like, you know, good. You
yeah.
know?
Where did you watch the game?
So I was in New York that day and I'm literally walking down the street. I'm watching the game on my phone and I see all of these people in the streets hanging out on the sidewalk, watch like a restaurant.
Right. Not an organized viewing party, but it just happened.
A restaurant put a giant TV on the sidewalk and put tables on the sidewalk.
Because
they had like
New York.
They had like outdoor tables and all that. And I just jumped in.
That's such a New York thing.
And it was so electric.
Yeah.
And in fact, I'm so superstitious because the Knicks won.
You are superstitious.
I gotta go to every game, at least every away game, I gotta go to New York to the same exact bar.
Right.
So today's Friday, I'm going back tonight.
Were you expecting them to win?
That's a deep question.
Yeah. Like, I knew they could.
Deep question.
But I'm not sure what I expected.
As a New York fan,
mm-hmm.
Well, let me caveat that. I'm not a Giants fan or a Yankees fan.
Okay.
I'm a Knicks and a Jets and a Mets fan.
Okay.
It is hard to get too enthusiastic.
Mm.
Like, you really,
yeah,
like,
you try to...
all my friends that like the Knicks, like, I got a bunch that are like, oh, yeah, yeah, this is our year. And I got a bunch that are like, look, just chill. Like, let's just see what happens. Because, like, yo, you get your heart broken so often, so regularly, that it's hard to really get invested. You think you're being set up.
Oh, I understand.
So for me, I walked in very muted. I walked in saying to myself, I know that they've got a shot and that they're going to give it a game and it's not going to be a blowout in either direction.
Did the way the Spurs closed out the Western Conference Finals...
Yeah, that was
add some pressure.
That was an exclamation point.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, it definitely did. Because what I saw there was like the passion of Wemby, and I saw that my man is a little bit of a bully.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was like young, skinny punk,
right?
Because I haven't watched him a ton. Wemby's tough, and he ain't scared. So
yeah.
So I'm happy we played as a team, and we did stuff that I think is like obvious that you should be trying to do, like a 7-foot guy. Try to take the ball from him while he's dribbling.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Some defense.
Yeah. So I'm happy, but
some
like
steals.
Cautious and optimistic.
All right. It's a fun time.
Kind of like how I am about this economy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice segue. Nice job
there.
So
I get paid the big bucks to be with you. Now, like, we are seeing some things. It's so interesting. So we talked recently about the IPO of SpaceX.
Mm-hmm.
I saw on the news today that they're going to produce, because of SpaceX, 3 or 4 new billionaires will be made.
Mm.
Not to mention hundreds of millionaires being made.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we get into these other AI companies,
yeah,
Anthropic, OpenAI, lots of millionaires being minted right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like really, I won't say an alarming pace because I'd be happy to be on that list.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's like the comparison to what's also happening.
Yes.
Like There are people out here who are literally fasting as a part of their daily routine because the money ain't adding up right.
Yeah.
Because gasoline is so expensive, folks are now eating differently because they can't afford to do both, drive somewhere and also pay for food.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like the letter K. Like on one hand, you got one part of the K that's going down and you got another part of the K that's going up. So economies are calling this a K-shaped economy.
Somebody's right there at that middle where the two lines come together.
Yeah.
That's not what you want.
Yeah. And what's funny is I don't think at least the folks on the upward part have any appreciation at all for what the experience right now is like on that lower part.
Yeah.
The lower part definitely sees the wealth. Right. But I think the lower part probably always feels like everyone's doing better. But I don't think the lower part realizes the degree and magnitude to which that upper part of the K is thriving. So today we're going to talk about the economy. We're going to talk about the stock market and really just, again, review what's going on, because we think this is particularly an important time to be looking at your investments, to be meeting with your financial advisor and also doing your own little gut check. Like
talking about your financial plan.
Yeah. Like, am I on track?
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to make some adjustments? Because as much as, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, financial markets have been pretty good this year.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to wait until things get bad to make a change. And actually, before we get started, just a quick note.
So before we jump in, it's important that we give you some guardrails. So we just want to remind you, as always, this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and isn't financial or investment advice. We are sharing general insights and opinions, not personalized recommendations. Markets and conditions can change quickly, so always do your own research and consider speaking with a qualified professional before making any financial decisions.
Now let's get into it. So let's start by talking about the upper part of that K. So one of the big things that's pushing the economy forward, because what you'll see with these stats, there are certain things that are like pushing us forward. There are certain things that are pulling us back. And there's also certain data points that are indicative of the fact that this push and this pull is going on.
That's right.
So the first one is AI. This week, by the way, I was with one of my clients and she had not really seen AI. She'd been hearing people talk about it. But she hadn't really seen it and experienced it.
Okay.
I helped her to use AI to write a letter, to write an obituary for a family member that unfortunately passed away, to write a poem about her. She was blown away. She was like, that is so sweet. Like, that is so well done. Like, that's better than what I would have done.
Right.
And then she's like, now I'm going to start playing with it. And then I'm like, well, you also got to know that the little stuff we just did was the equivalent of heating up like 70 cups of coffee. Like, we are dragging onto the electrical grid in this country. We're draining the electrical grid. We are using up water to keep these data centers cool. Like, we're also doing harm at the same time.
Right.
And I hate to tell you, client, you just got a little dumber. Because, like, your brain space.
You actually said that?
I was just like, the brain space you would normally be using to write and talk and communicate, you did it in 2 seconds with a computer. And eventually, you're not going to need to think the way you used to think. And we're going to become little AI puppets.
Fine.
So go ahead. Use it all you want. God bless you.
But is there no value in the thought process that goes into the prompt and how to get better at that? No, of course.
Okay. Of course.
Yeah.
But just recognize that maybe you got to devote yourself to some new ways of getting like your brain
exercise. Exercising your brain. Yeah. That's fair.
Like, it makes you lazy. Like, I'm to the point now sometimes when I'm typing into a Google search, I've got typos and I just like, I don't care. It'll figure it out.
Yeah. So I guess I'm lazy because I've been doing voice Google searches.
Yeah. I can't even Can't even be bothered to lift my fingers.
Press the button and like, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So let's get into these stats. So the upper arm of the K, first we're seeing massive capital spending in artificial intelligence mm-hmm. infrastructure.
We see that.
The big tech giants, the Googles, the Microsofts, the Metas of the world, combined are going to spend $670 billion on AI.
With the B.
This year alone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, single-handedly, data centers, physical AI, like this spending is going to account for 1/3 of all of our GDP growth this year. It's causing corporate earnings to be strong because you got to realize there's a multiplier effect when companies make investments. Like it's the company that received the sale.
Mm-hmm.
It's the diners in that area where the workers work.
Yeah.
It's the guy
businesses around it.
Or gal shining shoes. Like, I mean, it's like a multiplier, yes. right? So AI is pushing the economy mm-hmm. forward. It's causing new types of jobs to emerge
mm-hmm.
long term. It's also getting rid of some jobs. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
That too.
I mean, there are people getting, educational institutions and platforms are benefiting because now they are offering like AI certification
mm-hmm.
within business. But, you know, I got an offer from a very prestigious school to take their AI certification course, which is sounds like a mini MBA, but it was like 20 grand
mm-hmm.
for the course.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the wealthy, the high income earners, the top 10%. Dre, I think you're probably in that top 10%.
Well, we know you are.
Whatever.
Entrepreneur.
The top 10% of income earners are growing their spending by 62% combined over the last 5 years. So they're making more money. They're spending more money. Like 62% over 5 years is like, that's like, that's 12% a year?
Yeah.
Like GDP, if we can grow at 3, like...
we're happy. We're doing great.
And consumers, the consumer spending is the biggest thing that drives our economy. Mm-hmm. 2/3 of it is from the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a handful of folks that are spending money left and right, hand over fist.
Mm.
And then finally, we just have wealth expansion. We talked earlier about the new AI billionaires and millionaires being made. Also, some real estate owners. Imagine if you are the owner of a building and you lease it out to a data center.
Yeah.
You can raise the rent.
Mm-hmm.
Officially, like you can go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
And the data center real estate investment trusts this year up like 40%. Like they're one of the top performing parts of the stock market this year.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying go out and buy them, but just saying like we're seeing record growth in this corner of the real estate market.
That's
which
right.
Again is part of this AI spending boom. This hand over fist.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, sometimes in investing, we may feel like we missed out on the opportunity on the companies that are doing the thing. But when you understand that there are residual beneficiaries, sometimes the way you get in is on the investing in the residual beneficiaries of the thing.
Yeah.
This is one of those examples.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the lower part of that K. So first we'll talk about erosion of purchasing power, right? So your money, right, has purchasing power. And the more there is inflation, the less your money can buy. Like it's almost like your dollars have shrunk, even though they're the same size,
because mm-hmm.
they can buy a lot less. And so we're seeing a real collapse in wage growth. So meaning like folks aren't getting raises like that.
Yeah.
And then even the raises that they did receive are not keeping up with inflation.
Right.
In March alone, average hourly earnings plunged by almost 1% in a single month. And at the same time, there was a 1% spike in inflation. So like inflation spiked by actually more than 1%, while our earnings dropped by almost 1%. Like that's no bueno.
Yeah.
I don't even speak Spanish that well, but I know that. Next, we talked a little bit about this like a couple months ago. Like there's a credit, I won't say crisis, but definitely some consumer credit delinquencies going on.
Yeah.
We're seeing credit card delinquency rates are at a 16-year high right now. Something like almost 9% of credit card balances are in delinquency status right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then even further, the folks that are in serious delinquency, this is folks that have credit card balances that are more than 90 days past due, 7%. Yeah. So 9% for just the general delinquency, and then 7% for the serious delinquency. And these are numbers that we have not seen since 2008.
Yeah, that was not a fun time.
Yeah, I don't think the new billionaires are worried about credit card delinquencies or even know that people are going through this.
It's not their lived experience.
We have auto delinquencies at a 32-year high. The 60-day delinquency rate for subprime auto loans is at 7%, highest since 1994. You got student loan delinquencies have jumped to 11% of folks are more than 90 days past due on student loans. And that's impacting the younger folks.
Absolutely.
We have... Let's see if I want to... And then lastly, you have just labor issues, right? Like a lot of times, like, I don't know if you're starting to see this, but I'm seeing like little pockets of layoffs, like a bunch of tech companies have announced layoffs, mm-hmm. a bunch of media companies layoffs. Yeah. I'm on the board of a charter school.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Ozempic, believe it or not, and all these GLP-1s,
mm-hmm.
health insurance rates are skyrocketing.
Oh, yes.
Because these drugs are not cheap, and most of our country is obese, and so everybody's running to go get on these drugs,
mm-hmm.
and it's causing health insurance premiums to go up so much.
Yeah.
This school board that I'm on, the school, not just this one charter school I'm on,
mm-hmm.
a number of schools are starting to lay people off because they can't keep up with the healthcare costs.
Yeah.
Like, that's real.
That is very real.
And so we're starting to see, yeah, unemployment is staying the same for the most part. But if you start to go under the hood, and in particular, look at Black folks,
mm-hmm.
we're seeing Black unemployment rates in pockets of our community skyrocket.
Yes.
Teenagers, young workers. I mean, we did a show a while back just looking at the government contractors that have had their contracts eliminated.
Middle age. Not quite seniors, but like, you know, senior positions.
Black unemployment today is double the unemployment of our white brothers and sisters. So white unemployment is 3.7. Black unemployment right now is 7.2.
Yep. A little more than double.
We have the unemployment rate for Black women, 6.9%.
Yep.
We have a high number of Black workers exiting the workforce, in particular amongst Black women, like can't get a job, just decided, you know what? I'll retire.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go do something else. I'll go start a business. Like that's leaving mm-hmm. the labor force.
Yes.
What else? We're seeing a big uptick in joblessness for Black teenagers. Mm-hmm. 22% of Black teenagers who want a job can't get one.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah. Extreme seasonal hiring freeze amongst entry-level and hospitality sector employers. See? You on that K. That's why you weren't aware. You're on the upper edge of that K. So we're talking about this K-shaped economy, and Andrea just, without telling us, just told us.
I did no such thing. I did no such thing. I only have one teenager now.
Yeah.
I only have one teenager now.
Yeah. We still have two children.
Yeah, but...
It's not like one of them is off at war.
I just mean...
They're getting older.
He's not a teen. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So we're talking about this K-shaped economy. We'll go to break. When we come back, we'll get into some of the data, some of the stories, some of the reasons why the economy is going the way it's going.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
So why are we in this K-shaped economy? The first one, it's just the war. Like, and this is one that I think is really interesting. typically a war that creates an oil shock. An oil shock is anytime you see oil prices go up dramatically in a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to bring on recessions. Like, it tends to be bad for the stock market, bad for the economy. But like, the market's not really tripping about this right now. Although maybe it should.
You're specifically talking about the impact of oil, because
yeah,
a couple of shows ago, we were talking about how the market tends to do well.
Yeah.
After a war.
Generally, the war spending aspect.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you have an oil shock.
Right. Yeah. No, that's what I just wanted
tends
to
not
reiterate
be a good thing.
That. Yeah. Point.
Yeah. We still have the Strait of Hormuz closed, which is a big deal because 25% of all of the oil goes to this one little body of water, 21 miles apart.
I think it's still closed, correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's selectively open, right? Like, Iran.
I don't even know anymore.
Yeah. Iran had been letting their shipments through initially. Then mm-hmm. we came in and said, nah, y'all can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we went from literally 20 to 25 million barrels a day going through there
mm-hmm.
to now it's like a trickle. It's less than five
mm-hmm.
millions of barrels a day that go through there. And the Middle East in general as a region is about 30% of the world's oil production.
Mm-hmm.
And most of that oil goes through this little narrow body of water, 21 miles apart.
Your armpit.
Yeah, we described that. Now, respectfully, it's
respectfully.
Not an actual armpit. But I mean, like,
the shape of it. Like,
yeah,
when
we
you
said
look at the,
Iran is
the
like
straight.
The right arm.
Yeah.
Saudi is like the pec. And the strait is in between.
Yeah.
It's a nice little, you know.
Straight.
Visual.
Okay.
And yeah, when I remember years ago, when like any time that this like prospect of this body of water being even talked about being closed,
mm-hmm.
the stock market would tank.
Mm.
Oil prices would move immediately. Like, recession indicators would start blinking. And like, it's not just talked about, it is actually closed now.
Right.
And has been since basically the end of February.
So what's interesting to me, maybe it's just my ignorance, is of course I paid attention to the financial news and the impact of oil and where the oil prices are and supply and demand, all of that basic mm-hmm. economic stuff that we all know and understand and have studied. And even when you talk about that region of the world, I can't tell you that I recall hearing about the Strait of Hormuz until now.
Yeah.
That's just.
Yeah.
I know it's there. I see it.
Yeah.
I know where Iran is. I know where Iraq is. I know where Saudi Arabia is. I don't think I ever paid attention to that body mm-hmm. of water.
It wasn't.
Or really understood that yeah. that was the passageway.
It's one of those things. It's like, you know, it's privilege to not be aware of something until you are. And
all right. You just had to throw that
no,
out
I mean,
there.
It's privilege to yeah. not have to worry about the Strait of Hormuz,
right,
is what
right,
I'm
right.
saying.
Yeah.
It's not an Andrea privilege. It's a global privilege.
Right.
That we haven't had to worry about
yep.
this thing.
Can't say I've ever heard of it.
Yeah.
Until the last mm-hmm. 6 months.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I had this conversation with one of my managers in the dry cleaner. One of the stores isn't doing as well. And I'm like, you know, I have these other stores that are doing really well, and I don't even know any of the issues going on in that store. But this little store over here, I know everything about what's going on. Like, I don't want to know
right.
all that information.
Right, right, right.
Right?
But you're going to pay attention to where you see
a
weakness.
And so we're paying attention to the Strait of Hormuz
sure.
because we have to right
That's
now.
Fair.
We no longer have that privilege because things are not going well. And it's also to the point where, you know, I think even Republicans are upset
mm-hmm.
at the president about this war and how long it's going on. And you know, and nobody's even talking about the fact that over 10,000 people, and this isn't just Americans,
right.
this isn't just Iranians, like it's 10,000 humans, more than 10,000 have been killed across multiple countries
yeah.
because of this conflict.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about this straight because, yeah, that causes our oil prices to go up. But like, you know, lots of life has been lost, which is a tragedy.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Now, we talked earlier about the fact that we got this K going on. Clearly, the war is one of those things that's pushing things down. But the thing that's propping the economy up, it's AI, it's artificial intelligence. We talked about capital expenditure, how much money is being spent. But also there's this thing, it's agentic AI is the new thing. I don't know if you're using this, but like there's even AI twins I saw recently. Like there's a CEO who basically has an AI twin who he sends to go do speaking engagements, to go do town halls.
No, we're not doing that.
Like the AI, this AI twin will literally listen to all your speeches, read all the things you've written, and basically emulate you. It's got your picture, it's using your voice. He's sending AI twins to networking meetings, and then, you know, notes will be taken, and the guy will just read what, you know what I'm saying, was talked about.
I want to hear our AI twin podcast.
It might be better than ours.
It might be.
Low-key, we might be like, man.
Or we might not like it. Yeah. It might be too much of a reflection.
Put it like this.
Of ourselves.
I would, just for ego alone, I would have to believe that ours is going to be better than the AI twin version.
We better be.
But I'll tell you, the grammar might be better. Like,
for sure. The way I jack up words.
Pronunciations might be better.
All true.
Yeah.
It can be created.
And this concept of these AI agents, it's really like an autonomous digital worker who can execute complex things. Financial forecasting, tax auditing. By the way, they're coming for us. Like, there's a whole bunch of companies now trying to replace financial advisors.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is like, you know, it'll happen for some people. But the thing that you can't replace is judgment and that comes from experience. Like
judgment and relationships.
Yeah. Like, I'll tell you a quick story, like, about, like, an AI scenario. Because I've been testing it and seeing what it would say. And I had this real-life scenario. One of the lunch ladies at my school from high school when I grew up, she sold the house, had a bunch of money, came to me and said, hey, I want to invest. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I'll help. You know, my lunch lady used to hook me up with the butter crunch and all that, you know? You know, you used to help me, you know, get my extra milk when I wanted some back in the day. I'll help you out. And so I came up with a financial plan that showed her that if you spend only X amount per month, this money from the sale of the house is going to last you until you're 99 years old and you'll be fine.
Yep.
She's like, okay, so all I got to do is spend just that amount and you'll invest it and it'll grow and it'll last. I'm like, yeah, but instead of investing it, what I'm going to do is just put it in a money market fund for right now. Mm-hmm. Like, it'd be nice to earn 6 or 7%, but let's see what we can do with 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. And let's see how it feels to have that money for a while.
Yeah.
Would you believe, Andre, and I know you will believe this, money that was, I came up with a plan that was designed to last for, you know, 20 plus years for this 70-something year old woman. And if an AI basically said, hey, that's a good plan, you know, this money will last. Mm-hmm. And all you got to do is invest it in this and that and this. But instead I said, no, I'm going to put her in a money market fund.
Right.
Because I want to see what she actually does. Mm-hmm. This lady spent all the money in a year. 1 year, all the money gone. That's judgment to know.
Oh, right.
Don't put this lady in the stock market.
Oh, yes.
Because she is not going to stick to the plan.
Right, yeah.
She is not going to only take out that amount of money every month.
Absolutely.
She will regret making an investment in the stock market because the money could go down and then she'd be mad at me and the firm like, yo, you caused me to lose money.
Right.
That's judgment. Like AI would say, okay, give her the plan. Mm-hmm. She's going to spend this amount, be in this, you know, 50-50 stock bond portfolio and it'll last. But like, so what I'm saying is like, I know that folks expect that AI will be able to replace a lot of different functions, but like the judgment that comes from AI, it's not there.
It is not
like
there.
AI, the same AI that, by the way, can figure out how to code, has trouble doing things like reading an analog clock. Mm-hmm. It has trouble accurately like telling you who the actual Pope is.
Yeah.
Like, you want that AI?
Right.
Deciding your financial advice that's you're going to retire on? Mm-hmm. I'm saying like for some, they'll do it. But, you know, there's definitely some things that AI cannot do yet. But AI...
Yeah, I think it changes like many jobs, not all jobs or professions. It might change the way we work, but I don't think it will be a replacement for every career and every profession.
Oh, agreed.
But we're all going to have to lean into it to a certain extent in order to do our jobs.
Yeah. Now, there's a stat that I don't have in front of me. Shucks, hold on. I had this stat. I wanted, you teed it up perfectly for this stat, and I can't find the stat.
I could tell you a story.
Okay, now here it goes. There's a stat that 50 to 55% of all professional roles are being heavily reshaped by AI.
I believe that.
And that reshaping is that it's being used in ways that make us more productive, but also dumber.
Dumber.
And it's creating this environment where, you know, we're in this low hire environment. Like companies aren't hiring as much because they're trying to figure out how to do more with less people, and AI is enabling that for sure.
Yeah. I talking about judgment, speaking of judgment, right? And you think about an important profession like a doctor, a physician. So we're at so baby girl's having knee surgery next week. We're at the orthopedic surgeon's office. I have complete trust and faith in this doctor and his practice, and we're at the pre-op appointment. So the nurse comes in and says, so we are gonna be performing, she names the procedure, on the left knee. So me and my daughter looked at each other and we were like, no, it's the right knee.
Oh man.
And so she says to us, are you sure? We were like, we are absolutely sure. So
that's scary.
So the first thing we do is we start laughing because we're silly and unserious sometimes. And I say to Arden, I didn't mean to say her name, but I said to my daughter, can you imagine if you woke up from surgery and you found out they had performed the procedure on the wrong knee, and you're still jacked up?
Lord.
But
some
what it comes back to is,
new millionaire.
And no, and I for anybody who's asked who's doing the surgery, there is nothing. I love this doctor and his practice, and I have faith in it. But the data that they had would make anybody think that the issue is with the left knee, because her history with that doctor, her last images, MRIs and X-rays that were taken with him were of the left knee. The condition that she has exists in both knees, but only the right knee is problematic.
Yeah,
which is why that's the one that's that the procedure is being performed on. So all the data pointed to her needing that performed on the other leg.
Yeah,
in reality, the data from the doctor in Virginia didn't come through, or it was buried. And so much of an AI thing, but it's the judgment thing.
It's judgment.
Where if we weren't there, and I did reassure, I said, listen, they're going to ask you 100 times before they put you under, and they're going to mark which one it is so that that won't happen in real life. But it was, I mean, it's just one of those things. Like if you just relied on data,
that's a fact.
She could have had an operation on Ronnie.
Yeah.
It could have been flawless, but not needed.
Yeah. And I think, you know, long term, you know, AI will get rid of jobs and create new ones. But in the short run, I think there could be more pain from it than than pleasure.
Yeah. Than benefits.
Than benefits. I know, but when I say pain, I feel like I got to say pleasure, but than benefits. So unemployment is expected to go up. I mean, the Strait of Hormuz. AI, like you add these things together and it is not going to be good for the economy in the short run, for sure. So let's talk about the stock market. Again, stock market has been good this year. I'll give you some stats on the stock market. Emerging market stocks this year, and this is not, these are numbers through literally this week. Emerging markets are up 26%. Emerging market stocks are up 26%.
Are we on the periodic table?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just going through that. I'm only talking about the stock portion.
Right, it's now. Fine. Okay. I still like it.
Okay. Emerging market stocks are up 26% this year. That would be, you know, countries like Korea, China, India, Brazil. It's really two things going on in emerging market countries. Some is the technology stuff, right? Like the like Korea in particular has the lion's share of the memory companies as well as battery producers, right? So like that's all related to technology, but many of these emerging market countries just have a lot of natural resources. Because right now, commodities are like going through the roof.
Yeah.
And it's way more valuable if you've got natural resources. Like mm-hmm. oil is a natural resource.
Yeah.
We talked a while ago about rare earths being a natural resource.
Yes.
Like these different elements, these different metals. Like if you have these things and you're mining them, and a lot of the emerging market countries have big mining operations. It's one of the reasons why emerging market stocks are doing so well this year. Small cap stocks, particularly in the US, up 19% this mm-hmm. year. Real estate up 14%. And in particular, we talked about those data centers up 40% yeah. this year. The regular general stock market, large cap US equity market up 11.4%. International up 9%, right? So generally, this is why we're saying, like, look, we're in the middle of a K right now.
Yeah. Stock market is like, what war?
There's a bunch of stuff that we should be concerned about.
Yeah.
And yet the market is chilling right now. Mm-hmm. Like these results are like stellar.
Mm-hmm.
These results are mostly reflecting optimism about AI, mostly ignoring the long-term impact of oil being really high.
Mm-hmm.
Oil ain't just about gasoline in your car.
And the reality, it's also ignoring the reality that there's no real progress that's being made when yeah. it comes to this war.
Yeah.
There's an announcement one day.
Yeah, a lot of
and
talk.
Then the next day, that's or it. Sometimes the same day, just the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The market's ignoring that.
Yeah, we did have, it was funny, we did have a V. I'm doing all alphabet analogies today. We had a nice V because the first quarter of the year, like starting with the war, which kicked off at the end of Feb, like March mm-hmm. was horrible.
Yeah.
Like we were almost headed towards like correction territory. Oh, yes. That's when the market dropped by more than 10%. And now we've got this really strong rebound. And I always say the market's going to overreact to bad news and good news. And I think right now the focus of the stock market is AI. We just, and also earnings. Earnings have been good. Like mm-hmm. we're mostly finished with our earnings season. And this year, almost 80% of companies have produced great earnings that are way better than expected. And most of those companies, it's because of revenue being higher than expected. So corporate sector is doing well. AI is propping up the economy. And again, I think folks are just a little bit overly optimistic. And that's just in my humble opinion. Then we move on to bonds. Bonds are interesting right now.
Bonds are interesting right now.
We've got like two competing things going on with mm-hmm. bonds. One, everyone was so excited that Jerome Powell, Rome, he's not in the house anymore. He stepped down as the Fed chair. We all know that President Trump was really trying to force mm-hmm. Powell to cut interest rates.
Yeah.
He sued him. He mm-hmm. tried to accuse him of fraud. And Jerome, he like stood 10 toes down. He's like, look, I'll leave once you drop all the charges. Like once all the stuff is behind me, once it's settled, then I'll leave. And,
yeah.
and by the way, when I leave, I ain't really leaving. I'm gonna stay
yeah.
on the Fed.
Yep.
I won't be the chair, but I'm gonna still be there.
Right.
And I'm gonna still vote how I'm gonna vote because mm-hmm. it ain't up to one person, it's up to a bunch. Mm-hmm. So we got a new Fed chair.
Mm-hmm.
The new Fed chair, a lot of folks expected he'd be able to come in and start cutting rates. But at the same time, we got a war going on, right? And when inflation has not really, really started to increase yet, not meaningfully.
Right.
But when inflation is going up, you can't cut rates.
Cannot do it.
Like when inflation rises, you got to raise rates to try mm-hmm. to fight that inflation.
That's right.
And so this guy who came in on some, hey, you know, pizza on Fridays, you know, no homework
right.
type agenda, he's not going to be able to cut rates. He's kind of like in the hot seat.
Not right going to be able to do it.
And so
song is playing in my head. If you must know.
Yeah. Can you do it? Not going to be able to do it. I'm setting you up.
I know, but I've had to pause because I didn't remember. Yeah. I didn't remember the can you do it part.
Can you do
it? I just remember, nah, baby, I'm not going to be able to do it. It's the way they would say it anyway.
Okay.
I didn't remember that.
Fine. I'll allow it. Yeah, so we got a new Fed chair who kind of is in the hot seat, but really can't do a whole lot. And I don't expect that rates are going to get cut as much as we thought at the beginning of the year. And it's not because of the Fed chair. It's because of what's going on with inflation. It's because of what's going on with the war. It's because of the Strait of Hormuz that Andrea had the privilege of not knowing about until this year, like a lot of us, right? The Fed has caused bonds to just kind of be flat. Like bonds, you know, bonds are like a loan. Like you give your money to a company or to the government, you get your money back plus a little interest. They're basically just holding flat this year. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll finish talking about the economy, but let's give some like our final views and then we'll call it a day.
Sounds good. I'm Andrea Gray.
Not final, like we'll never hear from us again, but like for this episode.
For this episode, for this show. I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Momentum. And we're back.
Mm-hmm.
K-shaped economy. Andrea's on the top of the K.
I don't know.
Some of us are on the bottom of the K.
Really don't know what you're talking about.
I'm just glad that I know my ABCs at this point. Because AI is making us dumber out here. So we're talking about how markets are performing.
Lazy, not dumber.
Yeah. I think dumber. I'll give you an example. I was with an attorney. And the attorney was saying that part of being a senior attorney is those years you spent reading briefs, reading law journals. And now with a couple clicks, you can have your case summarized.
Yeah.
You can, you know what I mean? Like yeah, do all yeah, the legal yeah. research,
yep.
which means that now the young lawyer who will eventually be the older lawyer won't have the same skills that the current older lawyers have.
I can appreciate that.
Which collectively is making us a little dumber.
I can definitely appreciate that. Like I think about, I mean, let's think about how we use it in our businesses, mm-hmm. in our practices, right? Maybe we can use AI to summarize meeting notes.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about writing or typing or, notes mm-hmm. and framing that with the conversation that you know you had with the client.
Yeah.
And there are times and certain conversations or meetings where it is just efficient to use the AI notes. But sometimes I don't know. For me, I just feel like I lose something.
Yeah.
If I do that, or I lose something by not writing or typing the notes because as I'm writing or typing them, I'm thinking about every aspect of our conversation, mm-hmm. including the non-business part of the conversation, right? Which is yeah. about relationship. I'm remembering that this kid's birthday is coming up, or this kid has a moving up ceremony yeah. or a graduation, or, you know, whatever the client is talking about that's not explicitly related to their financial plan, it makes you remember those things
yeah.
when you're doing the technical things that yeah, we have to do. I don't know if I'm articulating that sure. well, but...
Yeah, and an AI note taker might miss some of that nuance.
Yeah.
Might miss some of the things that were very important that right. got said in a way that was casual and,
yeah.
you know.
So I'm not saying don't use them, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, supplementing it with your own perspective about the conversation you just had. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not all the way there yet.
Other things we're seeing this year, and these numbers are through the end of April just for this one section. So Bitcoin is down a bunch this year. It was down real big in the first quarter, rallied a little bit, and then it's been down again recently.
It was in headlines today,
yeah.
just at the market close.
What was the headline?
60,000 Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, it was at 100,000.
Yeah.
It was at 120,000 not too long ago.
Yep. I think today it cracked 60.
Yeah. Yeah, that talk of it being digital gold.
Digital hold.
Now we're finding that oil is like gold, like for real.
I mean.
Because oil, again, it's not just for your gasoline. It's for running manufacturing equipment. It's for all kinds of things. Other things that are doing well this year, we have master limited partnerships. These are oil and gas pipelines. These are transportation entities. Like imagine how oil gets from the ground in Texas to the city of Chicago. You can put it on the back of a truck or you can put it in a pipeline and let it flow.
MLPs.
Let it flow. MLPs are doing well, master limited partnerships. And regular gold's doing well too. 6% growth this year.
It's yeah.
been, gold's been shining, continues to do so.
I saw sure. what you did right there.
So now let's summarize some of our views. We began this year like with stimulus, right? Like we had tax cuts. At the beginning of the year, we had low oil prices. At the beginning of the year, we had falling inflation. And now a lot of that is upside down, right? We've got high gas prices.
Mm-hmm.
We have increasing inflation. At the beginning of the year, we had an expectation that interest rates would be cut. That's a mirage now.
Seriously.
Yeah. That was something that...
It's beyond a mirage. It's just yeah. not going to happen.
Not going to be able to do it.
It's not going to happen. It's not even... Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about AI being this wonderful thing that's propping up the economy, but low-key is taking some jobs. It's going to cause some folks to retool. I'm seeing renewed interest in folks being plumbers and all kinds of things that maybe they wouldn't have considered before, but like folks are like worried about which field to go into that's not going to be
mm-hmm.
completely cannibalized by this technology.
Yep.
We talked about this affordability crisis, and I
yeah.
just, again, don't want you to underestimate that. Consumers are what push our economy forward.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing a lot of consumers delinquent on credit cards,
yeah.
student loans, auto loans.
Cutting back.
Yeah. We're seeing stocks are like close to an all-time high.
Yes.
But in particular, I always look at not just the level of the stock market, but what is the price to earnings multiple,
mm-hmm.
right? Like that's like how many years before I get my money back if
right.
the company gave me all of its profits every year.
Mm-hmm.
That's at a pretty high level. We're
yeah.
at 25 price to earnings multiple.
Right.
And the all-time high is like 29.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're close. Like yeah. That's almost priced to perfection.
Who has that kind of time?
Has time for what?
For to get that kind of time to get their money back.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
It's the question that an investor has to ask themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe we have to ask the investor.
Yeah. We've got housing prices really high,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, has caused a wealth effect for some that
right.
own homes.
It's, if we're already homeowners,
mm-hmm.
then it sounds great.
But also,
if we're just starting out,
yeah.
not so much. But also, if you think about it, those of us who might have some equity in our homes, like, who are we going to sell to? Who's going to buy our inflated priced home?
And who's going to rent it out if we decide to move anyway?
Right.
And be able to pay
yep.
the rent that's required.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the midst of an affordability crisis.
Yep.
Gas used
related.
To be $2 and some change not that long ago. Remember the president's address earlier this year? He
Man.
Had gas prices that started with a 2.
Yeah.
Recently, I've been seeing a lot of 5s.
4s and 5s.
Yeah.
4s and 5s. How much have you had to fill up in your vehicle with the largest tank?
So.
Are we at three figures?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You were like, yeah, of course.
I don't fill up a lot. Like, I don't really drive a lot.
Okay. Yeah.
yeah. When I'm on the
same
road,
same here, and I try not to get to
yeah.
to E, so yeah. I have to do it. But my little tactic to just say, hey, I'm just gonna put in $50, and whatever it gives me, what it gives me, and at least I know I'm paying. If I do $50 a week, I'm usually good. But it's not enough anymore.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I have to fill up again before that week is over.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
So here's our biggest point of advice today. There's a couple of things to be concerned about in the financial world that I think we outlined particularly well in this okay. show.
Mm-hmm.
We articulated those things, I might go so far as to say. And yet, you also have a stock market that is ignoring a lot of things.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not saying the market's about to tank.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying go to cash. What I'm saying is that now's a great time for you to take stock of where things are and ask yourself if you've got the right allocation, if you've got the right plan.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I'm saying is that you would rather, if you just, let's say that you, you know, a lot of times you might have started out with 60% of your money in the stock market. And because the stock market has done well, bonds are flat, drifting. You might be up to 75 or 80%. And you might not have even looked at it in a while. That's because right. The numbers are good.
Right.
Now is a great time to take a look at that and sit down with your financial advisor and ask yourself, should we rebalance and get back to our long-term strategy?
Absolutely. We call that drifting.
Yeah.
It drifts away from the intended allocation.
Mm-hmm. Now is a great time to just rerun your retirement cash flow projection.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Am I still on track? Maybe I can retire sooner.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if I'm going to retire sooner, then I also need to revisit my investments and maybe I need to take my foot off the gas a little bit.
Absolutely.
While you're ahead, like mm-hmm. you want to do these things while you're up.
Right.
You don't want to wait till the market goes the other way.
Back down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a client who I love who he invests with margin and he invests in like a really small number of stocks. And like, mm-hmm. I'm always telling him like when things are good,
mm-hmm.
bro, like sell some of it.
Yeah.
Sell some. Mm-hmm. You don't got to wait for it to be perfect. You don't got to wait to be a trillionaire.
And you don't have to sell all of it. Like if you really feel a connection to it for whatever reason, right? I always introduce these behavioral finance concepts. But if you feel really connected to it, you don't have to sell all of it.
Yeah.
But you don't have to hold all of it either.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to be like fixing up your house when the sun is out.
Right.
Not waiting for the storm.
Mm-hmm.
And now you up on a roof trying to tack down some shingles.
Right.
Like now's a great time to rebalance your portfolio. Mm-hmm. Now's a great time to talk to your financial advisor about your plan. Now's a great time to reach out to momentum-advisors.com/contact and schedule time with me or Andrea to see how things are going from our perspective.
That's right.
So we've talked about our K-shaped economy today to the point of exhaustion. To the point.
Literally.
And we appreciate you for rocking with us. Make sure that you root for the Knicks. Not because you're a New York fan, just because they're the underdogs. Like, we haven't won since 1973.
Do it for Knicks fans. If you don't do it for the Knicks,
yeah.
Do it for Knicks fans.
If you won't do it for Knicks fans, do it for me. Do it for Andrea. Okay?
They're not my team.
We deserve this. All right, if you don't do it for Andrea at all.
Do it for Allen.
Do it for me.
I'll take that. I'm really happy for diehard Knicks fans.
Thank you.
I really am.
Thank you.
I'm here for it. I like seeing
are you rooting
a good,
for us, though?
I'm absolutely rooting for the Knicks.
I appreciate that. We'll take it.
I'm just acknowledging that I don't have a basketball team.
Yeah.
I never have.
Yeah.
I never will.
Never had, never will.
I won't say that, but yeah.
All right. Well, keep listening. Thank you so much for your time today, and we'll be back next week.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors. Momentum. This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered financial, investment, tax, or legal advice. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and are based on information believed to be reliable at the time of the recording, but no representation or warranty is made as to their accuracy or completeness. Any references to markets, prices, or economic conditions are subject to change and may be influenced by a variety of factors, including unforeseen geopolitical and market developments. Any forward-looking statements are speculative and should not be relied upon as guarantees of future performance. This podcast does not provide personalized recommendations. Before making any financial or investment decisions, you should consult with a qualified professional who can assess your individual circumstances. Investing involves risks, including the potential loss of principal. Any products, companies, or services mentioned are for illustrative purposes only and do not constitute endorsements or recommendations.